Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Another week off with Talent League. So no footy this week, but a nice little discussion week. I'm again one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Russell-Smith. Jonty, how are you?
Yes, very good. Looking forward to really focusing in on the girls this week. Some of the girls that have sort of caught our eye in the early part of the Talent League season. And I know a team that I've watched quite a bit of has been the GWV Rebels. So looking forward to speaking to their coach, Sally Riley, about a few of the players who might be able to push into Vic Country later in the season and some who have started the season strongly.
For sure. The way this episode's going to work, we've got 10 girls that we're going to talk about, players we think should keep an eye on. And we sort of did something similar on our Instagram pages with the Vic Country Metro Games of the Boys. We just gave our top five. That was more of a quick fire type thing, but we're going to give a little more depth, just 10 players to watch. And the second half of this podcast, we're going to be joined by, like you said, Jonty, the coach of the Rebels girls, Sal Riley. So very exciting. We haven't had a guest for a while, actually, since our early episodes. So we'll be keen to talk to her. But I'll kick it off. I'll start with my... We're not ranking them as much. We sort of just have five players each. So we're just probably going to... We're not going to really rank them as much. But the first one for me, Maddie Torpy from the Sandy Dragons. Really tall ruckman. And she was definitely on the cards last year as a potential pickup, but didn't end up going through. Her ruck craft has definitely improved. And it was already really strong last year. I just don't think she had as much impact on probably an offensive end that, you know, some recruiters look for in rucks. But I think now she's starting to develop that a lot more. She's a lot cleaner with her hands and even her hit outs are just a lot more effective. And Sandy's midfield has struggled a little bit at times against some of the higher opposition, which they've played, I think we said, the top four teams. But they're still competitive. And I think that is, you know, testament to Maddie. She's been able to give them a chance in those midfield clearances. So she's been really good. I think probably now for her, the opportunities will start presenting as long as she can convert, you know, get a bit more on the scoreboard. I think that would hope. She still hasn't kicked a goal yet this season. I think if she does start to get on the scoreboard, it will make her a real lethal threat as a ruckman to do it on multiple ends of the ground. So she's my first player to watch. Actually, just quick stats, 10.5 disposals average, two inside 50s average and 17 hit outs average per game across the first four games. So that's my first player.
My first player is Emma McDonald, and I suppose to highlight her, she's from the Oakley Chargers. To highlight what you say about Sandy, one of the teams that played is Oakley, who got over the top of them, and it was in that game where Emma McDonald really sort of appealed to me, or the skill set that she had really, I suppose, came to the fore in terms of her contested marking. There was probably a 4 or 5 minute period in that game where she took three contested marks in that period, was able to hit the scoreboard, and she's been able to do that throughout the early part of the season, and that's probably her strength, that ability to be that real barometer up forward, be the one that they look for, that if she, even if she isn't marking it, she's bringing it to ground, creating that soft drop and that predictable sort of ball drop for the small forwards to sort of get around. But yeah, she has been able to take a few clunks, and it has been really impressive to see. She's got the athleticism to really launch at the ball and can sort of empty out and be that sort of hit up further up the ground. But then she's also got the size and that sort of one-on-one acumen to do it quite deep. So, yeah, she's been a really good find for Oakley early in this season. So she'd be my number five, well, so to speak.
The equivalent of their fifth. I couldn't rank these. They're actually all competitive, these girls. Yep. I would be hard to rank. But my second player I want to talk about, one of two Bendigo Pioneers girls that I want to talk about. Jamaica Douglas is the first one, and we've heard, you know, we've talked quite a lot about her. It's been a promising start to the season. We already know her potential, and I think it was just remaining consistent to start the season, because obviously when you're making country squads, you don't want to drop off early and sort of show any regression by any means. But she hasn't done that. She's played really consistently, just really good ball winning skills. She's played it down all ends of the ground, actually. She's been putting the midfield, the forward line. Even when we went down and watched, she was playing in the half back line to start the game. So it's really good that her versatility is being showed by Whitney, coach of the Pioneers. It's good to see that she's been able to show just more aspects of her game week by week. Really good, you know, strategically, I think, when she was on the back line and even the forward line, her ability to sort of make space. And even when there's a contest around her, she'll at least bring the ball to ground and create a stoppage, or if not, work it out and not just create that instant turnover, which sometimes can happen where it's just not enough reading of the ball and the ball just goes straight back. Really good kicking, plays off instinct a lot. So she's just one I think will, you know, keep progressing nicely. And I think when she finds her real, her spot, I guess, like just that position where she thrives week in, week out, I think she'll have a really, really quick improvement period. But she's my fourth one just to keep a good track on.
Interested to see how she goes at sort of the country level if she does play that first game, which it probably is looking like she will. Obviously, at Bendigo, she's one of the stars. They're probably a little bit thin bottom end in terms of their talent. So when she's around players that sort of are of similar skill level, it'd be interesting to see if she's able to shine a bit more. But my number four, so to speak, is Tanisha Kikowak from the Tasmania Devils. Probably stood out a little bit in that game that you talked about, Nathan, the Bendigo versus Tassie game at Arden Street that we went down and watched. She's... her background's as a ruck, and she does pinch hit in the ruck still in the Talent League this season. It's her third season of Talent League, but where they're looking to play her a little bit more is probably in defence. That's where, if she does get picked up, it's going to be as a defender or perhaps a forward, just given her size. It's not conducive to being a ruck at the next level, but it's behind the ball where she's really showed her wares this season. Her physicality and her strength, her ability to impact aerially has been really impressive, and she did it in that game. It's not always taking the mark, but it's her ability to disrupt when the ball's coming in, laying a fist into it, and I suppose, yeah, just understanding where she needs to position herself to prevent the ball from getting over the back or preventing the small forwards, I suppose, to the contrary of what Emma McDonald does, preventing players like her from actually creating those soft drops and just getting a big fist in. So, yeah, she would be my number four.
And then my number three is one that I don't think we've actually talked a lot about, but it's one that I think I said to you pre-podcast, it's one that I want to back in because I did see quite a lot of potential in the way she played her game, Maddie Lamb for the Tassie Devils, back-to-back Tassie Devils here. You can easily tell her on the field. She's got a helmet, so it's not too many of them that wear helmets. So easy to identify, which is a good thing already. But she's just a really strong, gutsy midfielder that took the game on it every time she touched it. Or even when she was around the contest, she was always putting her head in first and trying to get that ball out and at least just give an option, which I thought was really impressive. And very small, not like tall by any means, but knows how to impact a contest regardless of her size. Really good spatial awareness, I thought, throughout the middle of the ground. Even when she was getting some run and carry, she knew where the opposition was coming from and was able to evade those runners. So she's just one that I think she's been on a really good upwards trajectory. I think I told you her stats have got literally better each game. Like it's been 8 touches, 11, 15, 23. Everything's just gone up. She averaged... oh, she got 8 tackles 3 weeks in a row, which is really impressive with the girls. But the average is here, 15.5 touches a game, 6.8 tackles a game and 3 inside 50s average across the first 4 games. So I think they're just very promising stats. And I think she's one that will just keep developing really nicely. And I'm praying that this prediction really in a couple months' time does pay off, because she did definitely showed the signs of someone who has draftable traits. And that's exactly what you want, someone who's tough, contested, knows how to see the play really well moving forward. So she's one that I would have at my number three just to keep a really keen eye on.
Certainly. Back yourself, heard it here first. And hopefully she breaks out once the Talent League does resume. Next one I'll speak about is Ali Simons from the Dandenong Stingrays. I don't think she played their first game, or I know she didn't play their first game, and then she's played for their remaining games. And she's an undersized, I suppose, ruck. It's acknowledged that if she gets drafted, I suppose a little bit like Tanisha Kikowak, that it won't be as a ruck at the next level, but she's still got that key position ability. And when she has gone into the ruck, it's been some of the attributes that she's shown that have been really impressive. Not necessarily just her ruck craft, but just her sheer strength, her ability to grab it out of the ruck, wrestle with her opponent and sort of throw her out of the way legally, so to speak. And also in traffic, just her ability to burst through, not get tackled, hit a kick really well. I know she's working on her kicking at the moment, but she's impressed some people quite high up. in a couple of games, firstly against Gippsland and then against Oakley. So neither of them have particularly strong rucks. So it'd be interesting to see how she goes if she was to face, I suppose, a more highly regarded ruck. But she has also played in defence, and that's probably where she will settle long term, and shown really positive signs there that she can take a contested mark and does understand the game. So a little bit raw, she's a bottom major and one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. Sure, she impressed when we went down a couple of weeks ago to that Danielle Oakley game. She was definitely best, you know, if not best on ground, definitely up there at the top three. And another one in that game, actually, that is my number two, is Maya Stobie for the Oakley Chargers. Yep. And she's been really electric to start the season. And I think the stats don't really reflect that. Even just today, just looking at the stats, and it's like, oh, well, she hasn't actually touched the ball that much, but it's probably a testament to how much she makes an impact per possession. And she's averaging 3 goals a game. I think she's kicked 4, 5, 2, 2, something like that, you know, something along those lines. So she's been on the scoreboard every game, very quick. That energetic small forward that everyone's become accustomed to in, you know, AFL, AFLW, they're everywhere, right? That's a staple of what a small key forward is meant to be. But yeah, it's her scoreboard impact. She really doesn't have to touch it too often, and she will use the ball really well. But it was also her offensive pressure that, you know, that's one of those stats that you might not actually see come up. But it's, you know, creating that pressure to keep the ball locked in, and even just sort of staying on the outside, ensuring that the opposition just can't quickly handball it out and, you know, clear it quickly. Was reading the drop of the ball really well and doing everything right that a small forward should be, and being really productive in the forward line. So all positive signs for Maya Stobie, and yeah, she comes in at that two spot.
Certainly very creative from what I've seen and heard, Maya Stobie. My number two, so to speak, would be Sarah Howley from the Geelong Falcons. She just knows how to find the footy, and she's done it in different conditions. I know I've spoken about her quite a bit on the podcast that we've done so far, that she did it on a really hot day in round one against GWV, did it in terrible conditions against GWV when they played each other again a few weeks later, and has done it in more mild conditions as well. But her ability to find the footy is second to none. In three of the four games, she's racked up 26 disposals or more, which shouldn't go, like, 26 disposals, clearly a high number. But I mean, when you think in the girls' game, they play 20 flat quarters, not 25 flat quarters. So if you were to make an equivalent with the boys, that's sort of 33, 34 type touches per game, if you did the maths. But yeah, her ability in traffic to apply pressure, understand the context of the game. It wasn't just her ability in those games to find the footy, but it was understanding the context that in the wet game, it was about advancing the ball forward, locking it in when that was necessary as well. And she has the power to advance it forward, and she's really slippery through traffic. It's been a really impressive start from her. But I suppose the other thing with her is just, I suppose, that she's still a bottom major. There's still so much development left. You look at her and she's probably not quite the finished product yet she does demand the footy, and they do look for her, and she does have that work rate that has allowed her to rack it up as well as she has. So yeah, averaging 27 disposals in the first four games has been a really impressive start from her in the midfield for the Falcons.
I should add, actually, that Sarah and Maya, two videos with them actually on the Instagram, if you want to check that out, quick fire questions with them, and one with Jamaica as well coming on the way. So for some extra content, if you want to actually get to know these girls a bit more, head to the Instagram, just a quick plug there.
Yep.
No. But number one, the number one for me, she probably would come in on number one, actually, if we were ranking seriously, but Lucia Painter, the second of the Bendigo Pioneers. She's just been terrific. Really high work rate that is showing off. Her ability to run and carry was probably one of the best I've seen for the girls so far. Just instinctively knows where to move with the ball, even off sort of pressure on the half back line, because sometimes you can just sort of that instinct to get it and kick it and clear it is usually what happens. But she'll break a tackle and run if she needs to. It's not. Yeah. She'll look ahead, and that's so important in the girls' game, to have that ability to look ahead and be able to understand where your players are set up.
Yeah.
Her you know, work rate around the contest, like I said, really good. Her decision-making has been really good. Probably has let her down at times a bit, and that's probably her only improvement, is just where, understanding when to make the decision to either run back or sort of move forward and make herself really effective. But otherwise, she's really been really strong, and there hasn't been many negatives about her game, just one that keeps on improving, and she adds those one or two more elements to her game, like I was saying. She's going to be up there with probably, you know, the top 10, five players in the whole of the talent league at the moment. So she's been very impressive.
Yeah,
she's not already there. Yeah.
My number one, and clearly we miss players. It's impossible to speak about every player. Like, you know, Ava Jordan from Northern, for example, has had a really strong start to the season. You could talk about Ash Centra from Gippsland. You know, every team could have a case for two or three players that we're missing. Kaylee Kavanagh from Calder, they've had a strong start to the season. But the one who probably has to be mentioned, and we're only mentioning one from Eastern, we probably could have mentioned five or six, and we've spoken to Ash Close, so keep an eye on that content as well. But Alicia Pisano, averaging more than six shots on goal per game and averaging four goals per game, they speak for themselves. And coming back from an ACL injury, she hasn't missed a beat, and she's so dangerous inside 50. She's so powerful. She's able to take a contested mark. She's clean and competitive at ground level as well. She adds that sort of zest, that liveliness inside 50, and is just going to be so exciting to watch at the next level, because to think that she's, what, four or five games in after coming back from an ACL injury, usually you require that sort of time to, I suppose, adjust and work your way back in and ease your way in. She's just come back, and if that's her easing her way back in, I'd love to see her at her best, because it's going to be bloody exciting, because it already has been. So she's got that goal sense and, you know, has just got that, I suppose, prototype AFLW skill set that you want, that's going to be transferable to the next level.
Definitely. She's been outstanding. Probably has been the top player, yeah, at least in the top three to start the season, just come back in electric form. Well, that wraps up part one. We've actually never done this before, where we transition to another segment with a coach. So we're going to awkwardly transition now. The next clip you will see, or next clip you'll see here, is with the coach of the GW Rebels, Sal Riley. And we're here for the second half of the podcast. We said in the last half it'd be an awkward transition to the second half, but we're here and we're joined by the GWB Rebels girls coach, Sally Riley. Sal, it's lovely to have you on and have a chat. Tell me a bit about your first 4 weeks of the Talent League season, what it's been like for you, how have the girls been progressing in the coaching role, what's it been like for you?
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. I've, in a nutshell, thoroughly enjoyed it. As I think everyone has, you is lucky enough to work in this industry, that it's not all roses, but generally it's an awesome job to have, and I'm really privileged to be in this position. So over the first 4 weeks, our team is sitting 2-2, which if you said that to me 6 months ago, I would have taken that in a heartbeat. But I think the best thing about it is the growth of not only our program, but the girls individually since pre-season, but even, you know, we've played Falcons twice. And the progress from round one to round four is, exactly what we want to see each week. So thoroughly enjoyed it so far.
And I guess
I
was just going to say, you say you're 2-2, and obviously, you know, we talk a lot about the fact that, you know, Talent League is obviously not sort of results-based in terms of team and that sort of thing. So I suppose if we jump into some of your stronger performers from an individual standpoint, one that really impressed me and probably had her breakout game, I think it's fair to say, in the second game against Geelong was Bella Davies, a bottom-aged winger for you guys who seems to have really good aerial presence and is quite strong and powerful for her age. Tell me about sort of that performance, I suppose. Is that something that was a long time coming for her? How much confidence can she gain from that and use as a launch pad for the rest of the season?
Yeah, look, Bella, she was part of our program last year. And again, small in stature, and to be honest, probably hasn't grown since last year, but her football's grown immensely. And she's put in huge hours in pre-season to work on her, I guess, her deficiencies, but also just really making her strength stronger, which is, again, what our program's all about. And we've obviously been playing her on the outside, on the wing, and just her running capabilities, as you guys have probably noticed, her testing results are outstanding. She smashed our 2K, was the winner of that. And even then, I think she came off the back of COVID and still ran a ridiculous time. But it's her, again, her competitiveness and her will and want to do well. And she's not afraid to put her body on the line. And I like how you mentioned her aerial then, because you'd look at her and go, well, you know, she shouldn't be able to do kind of a few of those those marks, or just being in those right spots or going back with the fly of the ball if you were to look at her, you'd give her no chance. But, yeah, I guess for us it's no surprise that she's performing the way she is. But, yeah, it's great that, that other people are noticing that that hard running and work behind the scenes is paying off.
Was that Geelong game for her, did you feel like a breakthrough?
As in the one we just played at Easter?
Yeah, the most recent Geelong game, yeah.
Yeah, definitely in terms of, like, her game understanding and knowledge. You know, that the girls come into this competition and they're so used to just being on ball, chasing ball, get ball, kick ball. So with our wings, we've been really working on the education side of things and, you know, which wing are you and where should you be, keeping your width. And even Bella in her match reviews, you know, she's really honest and she's pretty accurate in her self-assessment. So, yeah, we're really pleased with her. And especially that game was wet and she still was able to accumulate the footy and be clean, taking a few of those marks and quick hands.
And now probably onto the second player, probably the most high-profile player we've heard about, Jess Wrench. You talked about her intensity just on the training track and on the field, that it's a real barometer for the rest of the team and that explosiveness she brings to the game. Is that something that's continued in her form in the first 4 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. Like day one of pre-season, she, you know, she bounces in and all those girls, anyone who knows her knows that that's just her personality and it really shows on field. And again, she's another one, as all the top tier girls are, that they're competitive beasts in underneath. She's the nicest person, but you cross that white line, whether it's training or game, and, yeah, she's full-on intensity. And, again, she's built her confidence into her broken leg and she's been ticking all the boxes so far. So pretty excited to see the next block of her and, again, leading into the Nationals and et cetera. You know, being a part of the National Academy for her has been an awesome experience considering she is a country kid. She started boarding school this year in Ballarat, which makes things a little bit easier for her to attend training. But, yeah, she's definitely the barometer for our team and lifts everyone, which is fantastic. Member of our leadership group as well.
Well, you know, what do you give to a girl like her in these, you know, weeks of break? What's the main focus areas for her and how does she improve to come back even stronger?
Yeah, great question. When, you know, you look at her and you just go, wow, you know, are you the complete package? But no one at this age, or even in the AFLW level, speaking from experience, no one's the complete package. And Jess is one who's constantly saying, hey, what can I improve on? But also she's pretty measured in knowing what her strengths are. And that's really powerful in her being able to perform. So we've set her a few goals in terms of, her decision-making. As you know, she's explosive, she's passed, she'll pick the footy up and, you know, Jess of 12 months ago would kick it long without actually looking, but she's starting to get that ability to actually hang on, look, there's a better, lower the eyes, there's a better option short, or, you know, changing the angles. And, yes, it's the right time to leave my player. Just bringing in those elements of her game. And something that she said she wants to improve on is also her aerial work, you know, because she's really strong in the body, as well as, you know, obviously put the ball out in space and she'll win it 95% of the time, but she wants to develop that contested aerial work as well.
Certainly she's a name that's going to keep coming up at the start of the Talent League season and certainly as it progresses, I think. But Millie Lang is one who's probably jumped off the page from my perspective as well as an intercept defender. You talked about the wet conditions of that Geelong Falcons game earlier and I just remember her cleanliness. There was one occasion, I'm sure you remember it well, where she just sort of took a pluck that she had no right to take in dry conditions, let alone wet conditions, and she did it a few times on the night, but there was one in particular. She's been really strong throughout the first few weeks and I suppose she's good one-on-one, but also backs herself to take those marks. How have you sort of seen it? And, yeah, did you expect her to be so strong? What's sort of been the growth from her and what's her background been?
Yeah, again, for me, to be honest, not a surprise at all, knowing nearly last year, due to the season being so small or short, I should say, last year, you know, by the end of term one, the season was finished. And in my old role as a full-time PE teacher, and I was lucky enough to have Millie in school footy. And I just thought, wow, how are you not a part of the under-16s? Well, she would have been under-16s last year.
Yeah.
And for me, just a clear big country representative. But she never let that stop her and just kept plugging away. And one thing I did say to Millie last year is, you know, just because you haven't been involved in the program yet doesn't mean you won't be.
Yeah.
And she's another one that she's so driven. She wants to get better. She did say, oh, Sally, I need to improve my kicking. Yet I'm sure you guys can agree that that's her long left foot is outstanding.
Yeah.
But she's just, yeah, but I want to be able to practice on the other side and, you know, the short kick. So she's always looking for those ways to improve. But the best thing about Millie is the things she does that you can't actually teach. And, you know, that instinct, that ball-wheeling ability, whether it is going back with the flight or just her attack to and knowledge of when to leave her player, that's obviously all her. And she's grown up playing with the boys and only recently, last year, the year before, stopped doing that. And, you know, clearly she held her own in that division as well. So super good kid, great character. And, again, she's only just scratching the surface, really, knowing she's got another 18 months in our program. But, yeah, she's a ripper.
Will she play wing or midfield or anywhere else? Like, she looks so comfortable behind the ball, but is there the potential to play her in a secondary position?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, to be drafted, you can't be pigeonholed in one position. So, yeah, there will be times when we do move her up and around. She does feel, yes, very comfortable back there. And she's just that her leadership down there is outstanding as well. You know, she's working well with, you know, Liv Leonard and Molly Walton and the older girls down there, just steering the ship and guiding, I suppose I say the younger ones, but Millie is young. I suppose the more inexperienced players, because Millie's got a hell of a lot of footy under her belt, even though she's only played 4 Coates Leagues games. So, yeah, we'll definitely be trying her in different positions, just don't know when yet.
And then probably the fourth player that want to mention, Layla Lappin. You said she played a lot of a predominant ruck role in her underage year, but now looking to use her as that ruck forward type. How do you train and coach a player that has potential? You know, that ruck forward craft is quite, you know, an odd one because you don't get many players that can play both of those roles. So what are the main focus areas for her? How do you help her implement that into the game and make a really big impact in both areas? And because sometimes, you know, rucks can just get stuck as that ruck role and not be able to move forward and make as much an impact. But what are the main focus areas for her to make sure that she can show her versatility on, you know, in both ends of those positions?
Yeah, and that's, as you've said, that's probably a common, I suppose, a lot of the rucks, that's their common entry, again, into the competition, that, well, you're the tallest, you're the strongest, you'll ruck every 100 minutes of the game, 100% of the game at local league and just kind of do your thing. So Layla is very versatile, like we said. She's strong in the body and she's crafty. She's got a great kick and even her hands are good. We're just trying to, I suppose, help her with that confidence. Because, again, some rucks sometimes do get a bit confused. Well, am I as a forward or am I ruck or where am I best position? But Layla's really dangerous. When she goes forward, you know, in a one-on-one, then I back her to win that. So it is just slowly, not overwhelming. And our other rucks as well, because we've got Alicia Ralston down there who is another one that we've been moving forward and quite a good team with Layla. And it's just empowering them that, you know, you can, I suppose, demand the footy, even though you might not feel as confident in the forward line, but if you demand it and draw that attention from defenders, you're either going to win the footy or create a spare for someone else. So, yeah, she's really been progressing well because we've probably had a 50-50 in terms of ruck and forward, which is something she's not used to from previous years.
Certainly, and Molly Walton, I suppose, the next player to speak about, she's been really strong as well, probably has a high level of self-confidence from what I've seen, really, really backs herself. She's been around the ball as well a little bit early in the season. How do you see her ability to, I suppose, go to that next level? Because she has obviously started with that strong base, having shown what she's shown so far this season.
Yeah, I like how you said she plays with confidence because she's actually a little quiet assassin. Like she's not loud and she doesn't make it all about herself.
Yeah.
But her football has really grown and the amount of work that Deeks and Eamon Gill last year being the midfield coach worked with her, we've just seen she's like miles above where she was the start of Rebel season last year. And again, it clearly shows that she is becoming more confident in her ability, and just be able to actually, when she's not an explosive player, that just be able to back herself and you know, bust out of the pack and then actually kick to advantage rather than just kick to no one. So, yeah, she's played nearly the whole time in the midfield for us, and we've also used her down back, which is, again, where she found herself quite comfortable in previous games. But she's also been playing as a 19-year-old, obviously, VFL down in Geelong. So that's been really good for her development as well. And, yeah, they've been winning, so she's getting a lot out of that. And, yeah, we'll have her back for a few games, hopefully.
And the last player I want to touch on, Lily Jordan. We've spoken a lot on this podcast about, you know, how that small forward role is just becoming so prominent, that really quick, clever, like, energy around the ball type game. Lily's one that we've heard about, and has she produced those signs of what the small forward type role is, you know, is wanted now from a lot of AFLW, a lot of AFL clubs? How does she provide that energy on the ground and get her hands on the ball and make an impact with it?
Yeah, Lily's been one, again, who's improved out of sight since last year. You know, if you'd have watched Vision from last year as a small forward, she was probably getting past the contest too much, losing her feet, fumbly. And Lil's gone back and worked on that in the off-season and with Redan in the local league last year. And a big part of that is just staying in the moment for Lil and a lot of our players, is not worrying about what next until you've got the footy. And obviously her kicking accuracy, like, and consistency has been what has stood out. But I really, educate and encourage her. It's about the little things. I couldn't care less how many goals she kicks. It's whether she's setting up others, or, you know, the forward pressure, whether it's those smothers or voice or those types of things that are really valuable for a small forward. Because, as you know, sometimes they don't touch a lot of footy. That can make a real impact, and she's definitely one who, again, very driven, motivated, always here early, trying to do her best. And yeah, I guess I was pretty impressed when she kicked up 3 goals in the first game. I think Lily of last year would have kind of expected that to happen every week, and then when it doesn't, probably got a bit down on herself. Where this year, like I said, it's not about the outcome, it's just about the process and building with Lil. So yeah, she's just really enjoying it. Hi there. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not sure where you cut out for me, but it's all right.
You said you're really enjoying our footy, I think.
Yeah, that's where I finished. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Good. Yeah, well, last thing to end, so what's probably the next month of footy look like for you? I know the girls have a couple more weeks off and you come back on the 21st of May, so a bit of time off, but what's the goals for your team and even individually as a coach? What are the next steps for you and taking your team forward?
Yeah, it is. I suppose that, and again, that's new to the structure, obviously, having the 4 weeks off with community round, but the girls are actually really enjoying it, I guess, taking them back to their roots of why they play footy. And that's what we really encourage, is go back and have fun, give back to your community groups. You know, you don't have to be playing every round and absolutely, you know, playing in your preferred position. It's actually try something different, develop those areas that you want to improve on. So this time is really valuable. And I know us as a coaching group, we really just said, you know, to our girls, you've just got to maintain those good habits. Like, if you start to get lazy at local level or you know, your fundamentals start to drop, then you'll really struggle when we come back. Because we play Gold Coast Suns straight up on the 21st, and, you know, they're a strong outfit. So we can't wait until then to actually switch back on. It's just about maintaining those habits and those fundamentals under pressure that can really put us in good stead. And it's been good for us to get out in the community as well, and even our regional programs, you know, because we've got girls playing in Warrnambool and Horsham and Portland and everywhere. So I've really enjoyed that aspect, as well as having time to, yeah, their individual development plans. And they've all got a focus that they've got to go back on and work on at local league. I think probably most coaches can say that the girls, I want to work on everything over this break, where I've just given them, I've literally given them two things, and that's it. And one of those is to have fun and enjoy playing footy with your mates who maybe aren't playing in the Coates League. So, really excited to get back into it and, again, gain that momentum of, I think we have 5 games in a row again before we have a week off, and especially leading into the Vic Country Trials. So they're all pretty, motivated and ready to go, I think.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Well, you've had a couple of wins so far and a couple of losses to the Geelong Falcons. But, yeah, it's been a strong start to the season, obviously, when you do look at some of the players who have performed. And yeah, it's been great to watch the Rebels. You've provided a lot of entertainment. So, yeah, appreciate what you've done the first month on the field, but also joining us on the podcast. Thanks for having a chat about those players and giving us a little bit more information. Appreciate you coming on.
No worries. And thanks to you guys for doing all your work for the girls in the program. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
No worries.
Well, we love doing it. We love doing it. But, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate your time. So, like, we're hoping to do the same as this podcast with the boys next week and hopefully have a boys coach join us then. So until then, make sure to follow us on our socials and keep up to date with the content, and we will see you next episode.